Would added video surveillance in childcare centers help prevent and root out fraud? Some Ohio lawmakers have proposed legislation that they say will do just that. This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss those bills and what they could mean for childcare centers are Policy Matters Ohio Senior Project Coordinator Allie Smith and Groundwork Ohio President and CEO Lenan Gutierrez. Thank you both so much for being here today. Lenan, can you tell us about the fraud in Minnesota that's prompted concern about these fraudulent payments to childcare centers?
Sure. So, I mean, I think like many of your listeners, we were following along as allegations of fraud were made in Minnesota. And then similar allegations were made really around New Year's Eve over the holiday here in Ohio. And as those conversations boiled over, both initiated from the Ohio legislature and a response from the state administration to really start educating folks about the robust system of program integrity that we have here, and also prompting others to identify ways that we could strengthen program integrity in our state.
Lenan, you mentioned that integrity. What measures does the state have in place already to prevent fraud?
Sure. So, and I will just say, you know, I don't speak on behalf of the state, but they do robust checks through licensing specialists that are already regularly going out and visiting childcare programs for a number of different reasons and verifying certainly that students are there and that the providers are providing accurate attendance records, and then have the technology within the department to review and audit. And I will just speak from my personal experience as an advocate, particularly over the past couple of years as DCY, the Department of Children and Youth, is a new agency coming together that at every time as they brought in stakeholders, I think they've been more transparent than ever about the choices they've been making in terms of system policy and also how those choices impact and improve program integrity over time. So, I wasn't surprised by a lot of what both the governor said and the Department of Children and Youth leader were sharing in press conferences and continue to do education about what happens now. And certainly they have already, I think, responded in a robust way to encourage more public inquiries of fraud to again catch additional fraud that may be happening in the system, but I think give a lot of assurance to taxpayers, to policymakers, that there is a robust system in place to protect public dollars.
Allie, what do we know about how much fraudulent activity Ohio actually has?
So, we know that Ohio does not have widespread substantiated fraud in the state. Every public system does have some misuse, and the governor was quick to remind people that in total last year in 2025, the Department of Children and Youth conducted over 10,000 unannounced visits to daycare centers in Ohio. So there are actually even more inspections than that going on, but those are just the unannounced visits. Those visits are also extremely thorough. They can last 8 or 9 hours. They're checking things like every single outlet in the center gets checked, the placement of changing tables, cleanliness, all kinds of things related to health and safety, and the over 1,000 rules that childcare centers abide by in our state. Those inspection reports are also publicly available on the Child Care Search website. And that's a level of transparency that we have really appreciated and that other states don't do. So we think that Ohio's current system is working as intended. The governor let us know in his statement in the beginning of January that last year, 38 child care centers were closed. And the efforts to close two more, we're still going through administrative hearing. That is not an indicator of widespread fraud in our state or misuse of taxpayer dollars. That is simply the system working as intended. If you don't follow the rules, that gets caught very quickly and dealt with very quickly.
10,000 unannounced inspections. Do either of you know how many child care centers Ohio has?
There are about 2,500 childcare programs across. I'm sorry, I might have misstated that, Allie. about yes, about 2,500 childcare programs across the state.
So, in total, in the publicly funded childcare system, there are 5,200 programs. That includes some family childcare programs as well. But it's that system serves over 100,000 Ohio kids every.
I think something broke up with your audio there for just a minute, Allie. I
Oh, I
do.
apologize.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You said you were saying it serves how many children?
Over 1,000 Ohio kids every day.
Over 100,000 Ohio children
Yes,
every day?
ma'am.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Allie, as I mentioned at the top of our discussion, state lawmakers have introduced some bills aimed at catching and reducing fraud in Ohio. There are a couple of them, but I wonder if you could tell us about the Child Care Fraud Prevention Act. It's also known as House Bill 649. What would that do?
Yes, so this bill, as introduced, would have required mandatory cameras inside and outside all licensed childcare centers, covering all non-private classroom spaces. So that would exclude things like bathrooms. Those camera systems would be at the expense of each individual program. There was no option for parents to opt out of having their child recorded, and there was a provision requiring the center to save 60 days worth of footage from all of those cameras and also to have them live streamed and available to the Department of Children and Youth to be surveilled, so that employees at the Department of Children and Youth could jump in and view the cameras at a program to verify things like attendance. It also had provisions requiring immediate suspension of payments and even licenses when fraud or waste were suspected, suspected being a very important word there. We had a lot of concerns right away that could be misused, especially after some of these misinformation videos went viral on YouTube and other social media platforms. So we are, though, expecting, after a great deal of advocacy from advocates like Linan and I, from parents and providers, to see a sub bill introduced tomorrow that will address a lot of our concerns, though we think there's still work to do.
We're talking about proposed legislation to tighten restrictions on Ohio child care centers. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Allie, you mentioned that the cost of this equipment, this video equipment, would be borne by the child care providers, which I guess it means if these child care providers don't already have it, they would have to get it under the bill as it was introduced. Linan, do you have any idea how much that would cost, or is that something that's being addressed in this sub-bill Allie referenced?
That is so it will be addressed in the sub bill because what I understand, and this was part of the sponsor, Representative Williams' public testimony a couple weeks ago, was that he is now re will require this bill would require photograph surveillance versus video surveillance of children. Right now, if you only if and only if you receive publicly funded childcare when you walk into your program as part of the morning drop-off or whenever you may be dropping off your child, you are required to utilizing a laptop. Sorry, not a laptop, a like an iPad, that's
Tablet kind of
provided by
thing.
the state tablet. Yes, exactly. You would share who you are and also enter a PIN number. And then it will take you, your as a parent, the photo of you. So not only do you have a unique identifier as a PIN as part of your login to verify attendance, but you also then have a photo verification that they can then go back to make sure that you are who you say you are at during that process. This bill goes a step farther, and you know, Allie commented that it's an improvement upon the last proposal that required video surveillance. But many of those concerns from a child safety perspective still exist, and we're very concerned about daily photographs of 100,000 children, those receiving publicly funding childcare, not those others, their peers that go to the same program. And so, you know, that's where our testimony will be focused as well tomorrow. There's a hearing, of course, on both of the proposals tomorrow.
So the idea being that with these tablets, centers would be taking not only pictures of the adult, the parent, or whoever the adult is dropping off the child, but also a picture of the child.
Yes. So daily images of the children. We've talked to some of our parents and within our network just to get their read on their comfort level and their response to both the video surveillance and photographs. And even with the photographs, I think folks are very fearful of the government having such an increased volume of the sensitive data because of the liability involved if those systems are compromised. It's really just not good enough for parents, and it's not centering the needs of children, their developmental needs. If you're a parent at childcare, dropping off at childcare, as some of us are, including myself, adding this as part of the routine for your children when it's oftentimes the most difficult transition of the day, is not centering the needs of children, let alone the safety risks of this level of data surveillance.
What kind of problems can happen when it comes to recording attendance at childcare centers? I was reading about something called backdating that I wasn't familiar with before doing the homework for this conversation. Linan, is that what this bill is trying to get at? What kind of problems are there?
I can't speak directly to the backdating. I think that's a better question for providers. But right now, I understand if families are, verifying their attendance, they may have to verify the dates and the times in which their child was actually attending the program. And so there's follow-up from the provider to make sure, because the provider can't do that, only the parent can do that with their unique PIN, that if any errors are made, that those are corrected. And so I think this bill was trying to address the time allowance in which providers had to be able to make those changes. Maybe Allie could speak more to that backdating concern.
Yeah, Lucy and Linan, from the providers that we work with, there are a couple of really common issues surrounding backdating. One of them is that if you're dropping off more than one kid and you drop those children off and sign them in at different times, even just 2 or 3 minutes apart, because maybe somebody had a little meltdown in between, or maybe you needed to hand off your infant first to be able to check in your busy toddler, that the provider and the parent would then need to go in and quote backdate that time check-in, because you get flagged if the children are dropped off at different times, that there could be an error. They want the current system wants all family members to be dropped off like in the same minute or the same couple of minutes. So that's a common one where there is not fraud, there's no wrongdoing happening, but it gets tracked in the system as a backdate to line those numbers up. There's also a very common one. I know many of your listeners have kids who go to a before school or after school childcare facility or both, where maybe they go to school in the morning and then they ride the bus to an after school program that they then get picked up from later at 5 or 6 when their parents get off work. Since parents are the only ones who can check a child into a program, it's technically backdating when that parent drops them off and registers when they arrived that day. You know, the whoever's driving the bus to drive them from their school to the childcare program can't check them in accurately. So that also gets flagged as backdating. So there's a lot of that happening that's an administrative miscommunication, or maybe the platform is not as agile as we would like it to be and is totally unconnected from any kind of fraud happening.
Well, that's very helpful to understand. We are going to continue this conversation after a short break, and later in the program, could GLP-1s help fight addiction? This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about proposed legislation to tighten restrictions on Ohio child care centers. My guests are Policy Matters Ohio Senior Project Coordinator Allie Smith and Groundwork Ohio President and CEO Linan Gutierrez. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Linan, before the break, we were talking about this a little bit, but have you heard, or maybe Al, you've heard from any providers who like the idea of having photo documentation to prove when children were at their centers?
I certainly haven't heard that from providers, and I specifically have really targeted reaching out to families to understand what their concerns are, because in this instance, these are policies that are trying to go after adults who are bad actors, which is a very small number of otherwise honest providers serving hardworking families, and the adults in the room have to bury, take this burden, not the children. But I have not heard from providers that they are supportive of more photo surveillance of young children, because they have to serve and meet the best interests of the child and these families too. So they're hearing what we're hearing from families, which is they're concerned that this is a step way too far. They're worried about the child safety and privacy risks, especially for special populations like foster kids and families who may be living and experiencing domestic violence, that this is over-surveillance of very young children that's disproportionate to anything else we're seeing in other programs, and that just the disruption of daily routine. I mean, parents know that mornings with young kids are already a juggling act. So requiring photos of babies and toddlers at drop-off adds stress and distraction at the precise moment when caregivers need to be focused on children. And certainly for children who are experiencing more stress and trauma, they're looking for safety and routine, and they should be met with a hug at childcare, not having to take a photo, especially when we're talking about such very young children. So I've mostly heard from families. The providers serve families, and our families are doing their best to provide for their family and do not need one more step in their day that undermines their children's well-being.
Well, and Allie, the requirement to store all these images over weeks or months, is that something that concerns providers and families too, Allie?
Oh, absolutely. Storing that much video footage would require either an on-site server, which is very expensive, or an ongoing cost for storing that footage in the cloud somewhere, like an ongoing subscription, which would also open that sensitive information and private video up to even more points where it could be compromised. So I wholeheartedly agree with what Linan has said, and we've heard the same thing from providers because they're talking to their parents as well. And there is interest in reforming the system and fixing some of those little things that are daily. Just in making sure our legislators know and understand what the process is like in Ohio and how many safeguards there are for these publicly funded programs, because the truth is that there is a huge childcare crisis happening in Ohio. Costs are skyrocketing for parents. Wages are low because profit margins are really tiny. And we want our state representatives and policymakers to be willing to invest in childcare. Linan's organization, Groundwork Ohio, as well as Policy Matters Ohio, has done a lot of research in that area. We're expecting some pretty big shortfalls in this upcoming budget early next year. And so there has to be a way to show the transparency and to alleviate concerns about fraud without putting kids' images or videos of kids at risk and invading their privacy like that. You know, I know parents who don't post pictures of their children on social media. or have trouble getting a picture of their toddler for grandma because it's so hard to keep them still for an appropriate photo. So we just think that this is unnecessary and that there are other ways to address our shared concerns about making sure these programs are transparent and effective.
Allie, what about this other bill that addresses data collection? I saw this term, enhanced automated data analytics. What does the legislation mean by that? And what do childcare providers think of that bill?
Well, it's kind of confusing because it isn't spelled out in the bill. We assume that the department would end up contracting with some kind of AI or data analysis company, and that has its own set of concerns. It's not as scary to me and to the providers I've spoken to because it doesn't involve photos and pictures or videos of kids. It's attendance information like time of check-in, frequency of check-in, days missed, that kind of data, like more of a spreadsheet of a lot of data. But I'm still not clear why that's needed in our state. There has, again, not been widespread substantiated fraud. Our program is working as intended. And that bill, which is House Bill 647, it's also called Regards Publicly Funded Childcare and the Child Care Credit Program, would actually take $5 million from a program that advocates and providers and parents have worked really hard to get implemented, which is a child care credit program where businesses, the state, and parents can choose to share the costs of child care. It would actually take $5 million allotted for that program and shift it into this kind of data analysis, automated data, enhanced automated data analytics. So we want a lot more information about the intention of that and what we're actually talking about, the scope of what that would look like.
It sounds like that $5 million was designed to make childcare more affordable for parents.
Yes. So taking it and addressing an issue that frankly doesn't need to be widely addressed and is not coming in many cases from reliable sources seems like a misuse of what that money was intended for.
Well, as I read it, Ohio receives more than $443 million in federal subsidies for childcare. Allie, has the state seen any delays in getting that money from the federal government because of all this concern over fraud and misuse of funds?
So in January, there was a little bit of a delay, but it didn't impact parents or providers, thankfully. The Department of Children and Youth did an incredible job sending all of the requested data and policies to the federal government to assure them that Ohio's program was transparent and effective. And there was some small delays in certain revenue streams, but they were able to kind of shift some of the budget to cover it, and then there hasn't been widespread delays in Ohio since then.
Lynanne, if there were to be delays or even cuts in that funding, what kind of impact could that have for childcare providers and the families that childcare providers serve?
Yeah, so childcare programs operate on razor-thin margins. So any delay means it could immediately impact payroll, or you're counting down the days until you need to close up shop. And so at any point in time, that's affecting families immediately, or at least temporarily. And for providers, the impact is immediate and could be temporary, but is oftentimes much more longer term. If providers have delay in payment, if they have to lay off staff or they're unable to make payroll for even a small period of time, we saw this impact and potential impact back last year with the government shutdown. Their workforce leave and they may not come back. They may not be able to restaff that program because providers in our or professionals in our state make on average $15 an hour. They could make more at most other jobs. And so the ability to attract and retain staff is so difficult already. So any delay in payment undermines program that program's stability and instantly impacts families making other plans for the day of and the next day of work and so on and so forth. And for some communities, there are very few publicly funded childcare. In some communities, there are no publicly funded childcare options. So if you lose that opportunity, it's not like you have ample options elsewhere. Even in the private market, there's childcare deserts across our state, with almost 40% of Ohioans living in a childcare desert. So that impact is really destructive, and undermines children, families, and our workforce. I do want to say, it does provide, I think, a lot of additional confidence to our legislature and to the taxpayers of Ohio that there hasn't been a delay or impact in payment this year, that everything that the Department of Children and Youth has provided to the federal government has been satisfactory in moving forward. So we hope that that continues to be the case as proposals are discussed here at the state and federal level.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Policy Matters Ohio Senior Project Coordinator Allie Smith and Groundwork Ohio President and CEO Lenan Gutierrez. Thank you both so much for your time today. Up next, could GLP-1s help fight addiction? This is Cincinnati Edition.